We're going to look at verse 18. We're continuing this series called Joy to Your World, because I want you to know, we want you to know, that Jesus didn't just come to bring joy to the world. He also wants to bring joy to your world. There's something he wants to do in your life. And so we're going to continue this series today as we look at this account of Scripture, as we continue to talk about this season of Advent. That word Advent means arrival. And Matthew 1 has another interesting account of the arrival of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 18, here's what it says. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way, that after his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after, everybody say, but after. But after, I don't know what just happened here, but after. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue this series, Joy to Your World. I want to preach from this theme and thought. When joy goes missing. When joy goes missing. Or if you want to use this as a sermon title today, I ain't feeling it. How many of y'all not feeling it right now? Come on, can we be real? You in a place right now, I ain't feeling nothing. I ain't even feel like being here today, Pastor. Didn't even feel like watching online. But I want to let you know that God has a word for you today. Amen. Y'all already see the enemy trying to mess with things and, you know, disrupt things. I believe that God has something in store for us today. Amen, somebody. Come on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you that you have promised to give us joy, that you sent Jesus into this world, not to just bring joy to the world, but to bring joy to our world. So, Father, I pray even now that as our hearts are open, would you deposit into us the word that will transform our lives for the better. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You all can be seated. You all can be seated. When joy goes missing, or when joy is missing, I'm not feeling it. One of the things that I think is interesting here about Matthew chapter 1, here in this account, it follows the account of Mary, who we heard a little bit about her experience last week as she had this encounter with God's one of God's main angels by the name of Gabriel. Gabriel came bringing to Mary this news that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and that she would give birth and carry the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, if you will, of the world. Mary didn't see it coming because she had said yes to the dress, as I said last week. She was planning her wedding. She had gone to Tiffany's. Is Tiffany still in business? Is it still around? They sell jewelry? I got that all messed up. Give me some bridal spots. David's bridal. It's been a while, y'all. It's been 11 years out here. I'm starting to get gray in the beard and everything. Life is changing. I'm forgetting things. But Mary is going through this whole process. She and Joseph, her fiance, they're engaged and they've pledged themselves to being married. But while Mary was obviously preparing for marriage, Gabriel, this angel from God, comes and tells her this crazy life-altering news that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and she had been favored by God to carry the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She did not see it coming. She was even confused at first because she says, how would this happen? And I have never had sexual relations with a man. And Gabriel says, the power of God through the Holy Spirit of God will empower you and impregnate you in a supernatural way for you to be able to give birth to the Messiah. She goes from being confused to then having joy. She makes a whole song about it at the end of Luke chapter 1. But then we get here to Matthew 1, where Joseph now is the focal point. Because the angel didn't come to Joseph first to tell him what was going down. He came to Mary first. And then an angel makes his way to Joseph. But this comes later on, and before that moment, there's some drama unfolding. The Bible says in verse 18 that it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. I want to pause parenthetically and actually say this, that this is a miracle because God is interrupting his own laws of creation to do something supernatural. That's what we call a miracle. It is when something happens that is not supposed to happen. It is when something that has been deemed impossible has now become possible. It is when God's super meets our natural and it gives birth to supernatural. This is the miracle in the form of the Son of God, Jesus, coming down from heaven to earth. In John chapter 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus. And then later on in verse 14, around that area, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word being Jesus came from heaven. He put on a body like us, and he dwelled among humanity to redeem humanity. Isn't it incredible? Jesus says, in order to fix the human condition, I'm going to become a human to fix the humans. That is gangsta. I don't care what none of y'all say. I have this visual in my mind about Jesus when he comes down to earth. Some of y'all Marvel fans will remember this. It was at the scene, I think it was at the end of maybe Avengers. I can't remember. It was the second Avengers movie. And Thanos had hit the scene. And at the end credit of that scene, he's shown being in his little room with his Infinity Gauntlet. And he says these words, fine, I'll do it myself. Because nobody else could get it right. And granted, Jesus is not some super villain, but he is our superhero. And he says, I'm going to do something for you that nobody else could do, not even yourself. I'll do it myself. And in this time, he didn't put on a glove. He put on skin. He put on flesh. He put on a human body. And he said, I'm going to come down from heaven, and I'm going to save my people, and I'm going to redeem my people, and I'm going to help my people. And I just want to know, is anybody excited that Jesus didn't stay in heaven, but he made the decision to come down? I'd do it myself. But nonetheless, here in Matthew 1, y'all, it gets real crazy with drama. Because the Bible says that in spite of this miracle, for Joseph, it becomes messy. Because here, it says that Mary, in verse 18, was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to go down this road of conversation. Can you imagine the conversation that Mary and Joseph are having? Maybe it looks a little something like this. Hey, babe, hey, Mary, you look a little different. I mean, you're still beautiful and the glory of God is all on you, but and I can imagine, he's probably maybe trying to be real careful because, you know, he's trying not to say like, hey, you put on some weight, you know, no, hey, you know. Yeah. And then maybe she responds like, you know, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And the way my mind works, you know, I wonder if Joseph at first was like, girl, you tripping. You ain't pregnant. We ain't even been together. Wait a minute. You been with somebody? Because that's what it looks like. And then she probably is telling them, well, the Holy Spirit did this. Who? God. See, what happened was, God said, y'all, come on, act like y'all ain't never said. Say what happened was, you know, Mr. See, what happened was, there was this crazy angel. You know, I was just at the crib in Nazareth doing my thing. You know, I was just preparing, you know, I'm getting the guest list ready. And then all of a sudden, I hear this crazy commotion and I see all this light. And then this dude pulls up on me and says, my name is Gabriel. I got good news for you. And I'm like, what you mean you got good news? He's like, hey, listen, God has chosen you. He's favored you that you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. You're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, this, that, and the third. And then I was like, how's that going to happen? I ain't never had sex with nobody. Me and my man Joseph, we're going to get married. And then angel comes and says all this other stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. I mean, this sounds crazy, but you said it, so I believe it. That's what Mary said. She said, as you have said, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen as you've said. Can you imagine her reciting this to Joseph? Come on. Can you imagine this? I want us to think about this, because sometimes when we look at accounts like this, we kind of just go, like, oh, it sounds like pie in the sky. No, no, no. I want us to actually think about this. Think about this conversation. These are real people experiencing a supernatural move of God. And she's trying to explain this. Joseph ain't having it. Huh? Mary, what you been doing? You been drinking the wedding wine or something? You know how crazy you sound? An angel came and told you this? God did this? I saw some memes recently about kind of the possible conversation that happened between Joseph and Mary. And this is one meme that I found. It was like a picture of Maury. Y'all remember that show, Maury Povich, back in the day? Y'all remember that? And it says, Mary, mother of Jesus, Joseph is not the father. Stop laughing at that man in pain. He was in pain. Y'all in here laughing. Y'all supposed to be saved and love Jesus. But then I found another one. This one really took me out. I'm not even going to lie. I found this other one. Mary, her words to him, I'm pregnant. Joseph, but we didn't. Mary says it was the Holy Spirit, and Joseph is just sitting there. Poor Will Smith, you know, like, you know, had a rough time, y'all. I want y'all to think about this, like, really think about what's happening here. They had this conversation. Girl, you capping, you tripping. That's not even possible. We ain't married yet. We ain't had the honeymoon yet. And no matter how much Mary is talking to him and telling him the truth, in the midst of all this, this drama is unfolding. Because in all seriousness, Joseph is confused. He's shocked. I want you to imagine for a moment what he's feeling after finding out she's pregnant, because in his eyes, she has been unfaithful. Like, in his eyes, she has gone behind his back and done something unthinkable. So I want you to think about the feelings that you would feel if something like this happened. He's feeling angry. He's feeling a sense of betrayal. There's some grief. There's disappointment. There's sadness. This isn't a trivial moment. This is actually a very heavy moment. And all this reaches a boiling point, which we see here in verse 19. It says, so her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, he decided to divorce her secretly. Because this crazy sounding miracle to Joseph, this ain't real. This don't make sense. It doesn't make sense how this is happening. Like, I can't actually explain this. And he goes from this thrill of engagement to the trauma of a pending divorce. He's gone from planning a wedding to now planning a divorce. That is a crazy pendulum swing of emotions. Right? To go from this incredible high to this incredible low. And the text says that because he was a righteous man, he decided he wanted to do it quietly because he wanted to spare her of the shame. Because back then in those times, for some who went really hard with this, some would even say that anybody who committed adultery was unfaithful, they needed to be stoned. But Joseph, because he was a righteous man, he wanted to keep her from the shame of what appears to be this unfaithfulness. But I want to highlight the word righteous here, because even though he was righteous, he's faithful to God's word, he's faithful to God's law, he's still experiencing a difficult time, which is important for us to realize, because sometimes it's easy for us to think that because we follow God and because we're trusting God, that we won't ever experience difficult moments. He is righteous.
He loves God. He's following God's word. But yet, he finds himself in this difficult moment. I'm trying to honor God, but this is happening. I'm trying to trust God, but this is happening. I'm trying to follow God's word, but this is happening. Anybody ever been there before? I'm trying my best right now. But all this stuff keeps happening. All this stuff keeps coming against me. And I think that what we can all agree on is that here in this passage of scripture, Joseph is probably having the most difficult time of his life. He has been blindsided. He didn't see it coming. And I wonder what his prayers to God sound like. Hold on, God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't pray about this. When I asked you to send me a wife, I didn't expect this. I was blindsided by this. I didn't expect to potentially be the talk of the city. I didn't expect to have my marriage end before it even started. I didn't expect my relationship to possibly be on the brink of going viral because it seems like Mary cheated on me. I didn't expect this to happen. I think many of us here can identify with that. Because many of us here today have walked through moments where we didn't expect things to happen. And Joseph, because of this, he is now low on joy in this moment when he finds out that Mary is pregnant. He's not excited in this moment. He's not filled with joy in this moment. He's not singing joy to the world in this moment. This is not a happy time for Joseph. He went from feeling overjoyed about the possibility of getting married to now being overwhelmed because of the possibility of a divorce. It's not an exciting time. It's one of these moments in passages in Scripture surrounding the arrival of Jesus where you don't see joy mentioned on the surface. And I'm going to be honest with you, when I was preparing for this series some weeks back before we started this series and just kind of praying about the scriptures that God would want us to journey into and look at and study from and preach from, I remember coming to the scripture. I was like, I can't preach this scripture. Ain't no joy here. I'm like, you're talking about joy to the world. Joseph ain't had no joy. We can't talk about that. I'm trying to give people hope. But then recently God spoke to me. He's like, that's the point. There is hope for those who are hopeless. Because you're going to go through times in your life where you ain't feeling it. You're going to walk through moments of your life where you don't have no joy. Come on, let's be honest. We know what the scripture says. I read it last week. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And you're like, Pastor, but I ain't feeling like it right now. I mean, I hear what it says, and I want to trust what it says, but I don't feel it right now. It's missing from my life. Right now, it's not there. And I just want to ask us a question. Has anybody in here online and in person ever been in a moment where you felt blindsided by stuff? Like you got a call that you didn't expect to get. You got news that you didn't expect to get. Something happened that you didn't expect to happen where you found yourself in a time where you were low on joy. And I think if I took a poll of some of us in here today, there would be many of us right now who could say, Pastor, I'm low on joy. I'm just being real. I'm keeping it in the stack. I'm keeping it 100. I'm low on joy right now. Things have been falling apart. I've been trying to hold things together. Nothing is working. Nothing is coming together. I'm stressed. I can't sleep. I can't function. There's so much on my spirit. There's so much on my mind. And as we look back over this year, and even really honestly over these past few years, we have lived through, I think, a period of continual trauma. Where we've experienced loss of loved ones and we've experienced sickness of all kinds and we've experienced financial strain and we've experienced difficulty. I think these past few years, y'all, if we could be really honest, like, yes, there's been a lot of great things that have happened, but if we could be honest, there's also been a lot of troubling things that have happened. And it's borderline been traumatizing. One of the things I believe wholeheartedly is that so much that was happening in 2020, I believe that we would not just see the residual of that in 2020. I believe that it will have ripple effects for years to come. And I think we're living in that right now. And many of us right now find ourselves in this place where it's hard to rejoice, even in this season. We see the lights outside. You see the lights in here. And you go to Target, and you go to Walmart, and you go to these Christmas shops, and you go to party after party, and people are laughing, and people seem to have all this joy. But if you're honest on the inside, it's like, I don't got it, though. I'm smiling on the inside, but I'm traumatized. I'm smiling on the outside, but I'm traumatized on the inside.
Many of you recently heard about a very well-known guy by the name of Twitch, who was the DJ for Ellen DeGeneres and her show for a number of years, that he recently tragically lost his life. And one of the things that so many people were constantly saying is, man, it was, I don't get it. He was so happy on the outside. He was always bringing joy to everybody on the outside, but yet he was suffering on the inside. Because no matter what you look like, what people may look like on the outside, you may not have a clue what they're battling on the inside. We cannot go by just people smiling as an indicator that all is well. Because smiling becomes a great mask. Joseph in this moment is not smiling. And I believe that Joseph could identify with our pain. And maybe some of you are like him today and wanted to just give up, throw everything away because you've been blindsided by so much this year. Joseph wants to abort what's happening right here. And I want to say this because I believe that this is something that we need to always be aware of when we feel discouraged. That abandonment always becomes tempting in times of disappointment. That whenever we're disappointed, we're always going to be tempted to abandon. We're always going to be tempted to give up. And Joseph didn't want to have anything to do with Mary in this moment. He didn't want to have anything to do with her. He didn't want to be married to her. He didn't want to go through with the wedding. He didn't want to have anything to do with her. He essentially said, I'm done. I'm giving up. I didn't sign up for this. I'm quitting. But verse 20 says these words, and I want you to see it. Here's what it says. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Those first two words are a game changer. But after, everybody say, but after. And I hear God saying to many of us today in person and online that you have a but after moment coming behind the trauma and the trouble and the pain and the difficulty that you've experienced. I know that some of us in here right now, you're watching online. Some of us who are here in this place, you feel like giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. But God is saying, don't you do it. I got a but after moment coming for you. I'm not done yet. I haven't thrown in the towel yet. I'm not done. It's not over. I know it looks ugly on the outside, but what I'm doing is something great. Don't you dare quit. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. There's a but after moment that's coming after this pain. There's a but after. Everybody say but after. It's a but after. But after he considered these things, an angel appeared to him. I want to give us this encouragement. Don't forfeit your future because of your current frustration. I know some of you are frustrated right now. Don't forfeit your future. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. And what's encouraging about this is that it points to God showing up to us when we want to give up. Joseph wanted to give up and be done. But God, he wanted to throw in the towel, but God, he wanted to quit, but God. Some of you all are right here in this moment right now. You want to throw in the towel, but God. You want to quit, but God. Some of you have thought about ending your life, but God. But God brought you here today, and he brought you here online to give you this message of hope and encouragement that, yes, the enemy may be trying to convince you that it's over. I was sent here by God on assignment to let you know it is not over, that it is not done, that God is at work. And when we find ourselves struggling to have joy, when joy is missing, because all of us will have these moments in our life where we're not high on joy. All of us will have these moments where we want to give up. All of us will have dark and destructive and difficult moments in our life. But during those times, God gives us good news. Why does he give us good news? And what is this good news? The good news is this, is that when we find ourselves in these difficult times, in these hard times, number one, God will comfort us. Comforts us. So I like what the scripture says in verse 20, where the Bible says, but after Joseph had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and says these words to him, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is a word of comfort.
What would Joseph be afraid of? He's afraid of the shame that could come his way. He's afraid of the reputation that he could garner. He's afraid of what could happen to his own life. But the angel says, don't be afraid. This is a word of encouragement. This is a word of comfort. And I love this because what many of us are dealing with right now is a lot of fear. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of worry. But God sent me here today to give you this word of encouragement. Don't be afraid. God's got you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to be with you. That oftentimes when joy is absent and when we're not feeling it, God does not come with condemnation. He always comes with comfort. He doesn't condemn Joseph for feeling what he's feeling. No, he comforts Joseph in the midst of what he's feeling. Don't be afraid. God's got you. I want to let somebody know here today, in case you came in here thinking you were by yourself, God's got you. The mere fact that you're here today is evidence that God's got you. The mere fact that you made it through the crazy stuff that you walked through this year is evidence of the fact that God's got you. The mere fact that you were able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not die in the shadow of death, but walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is evidence that God's got you. That's why David says in Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this word that the angel comes to bring to Joseph is a word of comfort. And I want to let you know that when you are in these difficult and hard times in your life, God has promised to comfort you. He wants to comfort you, and he will comfort you. If you don't believe me, look at what he says in Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And some of you are in here like Joseph, crushed in spirit. But I got good news for you. God saves those people who are crushed in spirit. He is close to the brokenhearted. Some of us have walked through some heartbreaks all throughout the course of this year. Some of us are still traumatized from heartbreaks that have happened over the past few years. I'm here to let you know that God is here to comfort you. He wants to bring forth his comfort. He wants to bring forth his peace. He wants to bring forth his joy. God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You might be in a dark place right now, but I'm here to let you know that we got a God who's willing to get in the dark place right now and give you the comfort that you need. God comforts us. I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says. Says this, Paul, he says these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction. Everybody say all. Now, I'm not the smartest or the sharpest knife in the bunch, but last time I checked, all means all. What is your affliction? God will comfort you. What is your difficulty? God will comfort you. What are you stressed about? God will comfort you. What are you losing sleep about? God will comfort you. What are you worried about? God will comfort you. What are you discouraged about? God will comfort you. What is it? God has promised that he can comfort you and that he is able to comfort you. No matter what your affliction is, God's comfort is adaptable. And it's applied to every affliction. Which means this, that for those of us in here who are low on joy, you're in a difficult moment right now. You're distraught, maybe even depressed. God says, I'll comfort you. Because in our times of crushing, God provides his comfort. Some of us came in here crushed today. In a fetal position in life, God says, don't be afraid. The good news of Christmas is that God came down to bring us comfort. I know you got the doctor's report, and it's caused some anxiety on the inside of you. God says, don't be afraid. I'm the one who heals. I'm the one who encourages. I'm the great physician. I know you feel alone because people have walked out on you. But I'm that friend who sticks closer than a brother. I know right now you're worried because bills are stacking up and money seems to be dwindling down. But I'm Jireh, the one who provides. And I'm always on time. God comforts us. What is it right now that your spirit is crushed about? I want to invite you to give it to God. And in exchange, receive his comfort. I want you to be in this posture where you let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you
so that you would know that in your conflict, is God's comfort. I feel like I could stop the message right there, because many of us are in that place, just like Joseph. But the word of the Lord says, don't be afraid. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of compassion. Some of you feel paralyzed by fear right now. God says, don't be afraid. I give comfort. But he not only comforts us, he reassures us. Because when the angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid, you continue reading in verse 20. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has happened has been conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Watch verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord. What is the message here? In just this verse alone, to let us know that there is purpose even in our pain. In your eyes, it's out of control. But God says, I'm still in control. And much of our fear is that we have lost control. But we don't have to be afraid, because we know the one who's always in control. He gives us reassurance. He reassures us. There's an old song that says, blessed assurance. Do you know the difference between assurance and insurance? Insurance only kicks in when something bad happens. And it still may not be enough to cover all the damages. But assurance from God says, no matter what happens in your life, I'm still in control. I have not fallen asleep at the wheel. And I just want to know, is there anybody here in it that's excited about the fact that God still has his hands on the wheel, that even though life looks like it has driven you off a cliff, God says, no. I'm still in control. I still have sovereignty. I'm still at work. And there is a purpose in the midst of your pain. He reassures us. This reassurance. I got assurance. I don't just need insurance. That's good. I need assurance. That even when things are good, I'm good. But even if things go sour, I'm still good. Because I know that God, who has a purpose for all things, and as the Bible says in Romans 8, that he works all things out for the good of him, those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What are all things? Not just the good things, but also the bad things. So I want you to know that even if you're in a quote-unquote bad season, God has a way of working it out for the good. He's got a purpose, even in the midst of your pain. And the angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid, because actually what's happening right now is actually a part of God's plan. Now let me also say this, that the pain that's in your life is not necessarily something that God caused, but it is always something God uses. You do realize that in order to have a testimony, you have to have a test first, right? And God shows his purpose oftentimes through our pain. How would you ever know God is a healer if you never found yourself in a place where you were sick? Because God oftentimes reveals himself to us in greater ways in the midst of some of the greatest pain that we walk through. And what the angel is doing here is giving Joseph this reassurance. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she'll give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So what the angel is telling him is, God has a purpose in the midst of this, Joe. It's all right, don't be afraid. But I love this, because it's not only that God has a purpose,
But God has also given Joseph a purpose. He says, you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is being told by this angel that, Joseph, you got a purpose in God's great plan. I know the enemy has convinced you that you don't have value and that you don't have worth, but I'm here to let you know that you actually got a purpose, that you got worth, that you have value. Writer Mark Twain, he says it like this. I love this quote. He says, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you found out why. What is he talking about? Your purpose. Why do I exist? Why was I created? And I'm here to let us all know today, in person and online, that you have a purpose from God. That you got a purpose no matter what it is that you're walking through. It's dark, it's ugly, but God still has a purpose for your life. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared, watch this, ahead of time for us to do, which means you were not an accident in God's eyes. He long saw the pain that you would walk through, and because of his sovereignty and because of his omniscience, because of the fact that he knows all things, because of the fact that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, he stands outside of time, which is why he was able to create time, which is why he is able to use time to redeem the time, to give you purpose and to help you see the fact that no matter how much bad is happening, I still can work it out for your good. You got purpose. Tell the person beside you, you got a purpose. The reason why I wanted you to tell the person that you're sitting next to is because somebody has never been told that by anybody. And what they've been hearing for so long from the enemy is you have no purpose, you're a failure, you're a reject, you come from trailer park trash, all these other type of lies from the enemy. But that is a lie from the pit of hell, because the truth of God says that we are created on purpose and for a purpose. Joseph, you got a purpose. Don't quit. He gives us this reassurance. And I want to let you know this, that even when your life isn't full of joy, it is still full of purpose. You might be low on joy, but you're still high on purpose. Which means you can function even when you feel like you're failing. It means you can persevere even in the midst of your problems. It means that you can still overcome even though you feel overwhelmed. Because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. You got purpose. God reassures us in our times of difficulty when we find ourselves not feeling it, when joy is not present. He reassures you. This is for the young person, the teenager, college student. You feel insecure. You don't know what to do with your life. Your parents are putting all this pressure on you. Go to college. Be in this field and you don't know what's going on. God says, no, I got a purpose for you. That before your mama and daddy even got together to produce you, I already had you in my mind. And I already had a path for you. And I already had a purpose for you. This goes for the person who is older in age and the enemy has said that your best years are behind you. I'm here to let you know that if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. And it don't matter what your age is. Don't y'all know that some of the greatest people in Scripture were older in age? Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt in his 80s, y'all. Millions of people he led. Can you imagine that? Brother had a staff, but it wasn't because he couldn't move. The staff was a part of his purpose that God would use to deliver the people. He was older. Which is why we've said our church is a multi-generational church, because God wants to use not just the young people or the old people. He wants to use both. Mary was a teenager. Joseph as well. Young people. Which means this, even as a young person, you can carry Jesus with you. It also means as an older person, you can carry Jesus with you. You got purpose. Somebody say, I got purpose. Come on, say it loud. I got purpose. It's a declaration you make over your life. I got purpose. Declare that. Mean that over your life. God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you?
You got enemies coming against you in so many different ways. God says, if I'm with you, though, you good. It's not good English, but it's good theology. He reassures us. Here's the last thing I'm going to give us. God strengthens us. Because the Bible says that after Joseph had this crazy dream, the angel came to Joseph in the dream. He was knocked out. He was asleep. Because sometimes in order for God to get our attention, he has to get us still. Y'all didn't get that. I'll say it again. Sometimes for God to get us our attention, get our attention, and to get the message he wants to get to us, it only happens when we're actually still. And sometimes the reason why we're missing what God is trying to get us is because we're moving so fast and we haven't learned the value of slowing down. So God says, Joseph, I'm going to wait till you go to sleep, bro. Because I can't get your attention and get this message to you while you're planning this divorce. I'm going to wait till you're good in sleep, got drool running down your face. Then I'm going to send the angels. And the Bible says this in verse 28, that after all of this, verse 24 rather, when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. I want y'all to see what happens here. Joseph goes from planning a divorce to now planning his life according to the purpose of God. And the only way that happens is because he was strengthened by this word from God. He went from this place of mourning and of difficulty to now having the strength to move forward. The things that he was afraid of, he's no longer allowing to dictate and drive his life. The Bible says in verse 24, he got up and he did as the Lord's angel commanded him, and he married her. And I want to let you know that no matter where you are right now, God wants to strengthen you. He wants to empower you. He wants to embolden you. He wants to renew your strength so that you can be who he's called you to be. The Bible says in Psalm 30 and 5 that weeping endures or may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. I wonder how much weeping Joseph was doing prior to this moment. I wonder how much crying and tears he shed because of what happened or what he thought had happened. I wonder how much weeping was going on. I wonder what he was feeling in that moment. And when we find ourselves low and discouraged in this place of mourning, God has built a promise on the other side of mourning. And it is this thing called joy. That weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. Yes, you might be in this place of weeping right now, but on the other side of this, joy is promised to come. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about how we oftentimes find ourselves in the tension of weeping and joy, and we find ourselves in the middle. And we ask ourselves this question, God, I know what your word says, but I'm not in the joy stage. I'm still in the weeping stage. How will I get from mourning to joy? And the way that he does it is he gives us strength to make it to the morning. He gives us the strength to go, what I like to say, from mourning to morning. Mourning, crying, but then morning, new day. Mourning, sobbing, weeping, but then morning, new hope, new vision, new energy, new belief, new trust. And I believe that some of us in here today, you are in this place of mourning, but God says, I want to give you strength so that you can go from mourning to morning. I want to give you strength so you can go from this place of mourning that you're in and you can begin to experience and walk in the joy that I promised you. That yes, weeping may endure for a night, but I'm going to give you strength to experience joy in the morning. I'm going to give you strength to be able to make it to the morning. I'm going to give you strength to be able to make it through this dark time, to make it through this ugly thing, to make it through this sadness, to make it through this depression. I will give you strength to endure. Psalms 29:11 says it like this: the Lord gives his people strength, and he blesses his people with peace. My prayer over all of us is that may the Lord give you strength right now to endure. Because many of us have been asking for an exit. And God is the God of exits, but he is also the God of endurance. I'm going to give you strength to endure so that you can see that my joy, as Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What do I need to make it to joy? I need the Lord's strength to get me there. You might be in a depressed and dark place right now, but I'm here to let you know that God is with you, which is why God says here in this scripture that they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You got a God who is with you. You got a God who is beside you. You got a God who has not abandoned you. You got a God who has not left you. You got a God who is on your side. You got a God who's fighting for you, who's fighting with you, who's fighting in it with you. He has not gone anywhere. He is still there. He has promised to give you strength. He has promised to give you hope. He has promised to give you everything that you need to be able to make it through this. And if you've been walking through this season low on joy, I want to give you good news. That when joy seems absent, God is still present. So the good news is, some of y'all in here, I can just sense it and see it. You don't got no joy. You know what? That's cool. Here's why. You got God. And if you got him, joy is on the way. Joy is coming. And when it comes, it's going to say, good morning. I know you've been suffering for a while, but joy is here. And I want to let you know that joy actually has a name, and his name is Jesus. And joy came down 40 in two generations, as Matthew 1 earlier talks about. Joy came down so joy could enter in. Which means this, if you're low on it, if you're devoid of it, Jesus coming down to earth is the answer to what you're lacking. He says, I'm going to fill you. I know right now it's hard, but I'm here with you. I just believe and just sense in my spirit that so many of you, so many of us as a church family, online and in person, and you know people on your jobs, you know people in your family, you know people in your neighborhood right now, they are in hard places. It's hard. And there's no amount of Hallmark Christmas movies that's bringing them out. But there is one who can bring them out. And it's the one who came down 2,000 years ago. He came down to bring us out. And his name is Jesus. And do you know what his name means? The one who saves. In his name is salvation. Which is why Peter can say later on in the book of Acts that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. I'm here to let y'all know, and I'm looking, I just want to see y'all and look in your eyes and give you this word of encouragement to let you know Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come to bring you hope. Jesus has come to bring you strength. Jesus has come to lift your spirit. Jesus has come to resurrect. Jesus has come on, to bring new life. Jesus has come to give you joy, not just joy to the world, but joy to your world. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today who just says, Jesus, I need your strength, because right now it's dark, right now it's hard, right now it's ugly, right now it's uncomfortable, but I'm trusting you, I'm believing in you, I receive your strength. I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe Jesus has something that he wants all of us to get from him. It's been a hard season for some of you. It's been a hard year. It's been a hard past few years. You've walked through stuff. You lost relationships. You've been blindsided. You feel like the wind has been knocked out of you. You haven't been able to recover. These past few years, we talked about COVID. It affects your breathing. Some of us have maybe not physically felt that in that way, but metaphorically in our life, we felt that. Trying to catch my breath in life, but so much stuff is coming my way. But I want to let you know that we got a God who gives fresh wind. The Holy Spirit. He is the breath of fresh air. And I hear him saying today that the joy of Christmas is rooted in the fact that I came to bring fresh life to you. I came to bring fresh air. Because what you've been breathing in for so long has been hard. But I sent my son to let you know I want to give you a breath of fresh air. I just want to know, who am I talking to today? And you feel like right now you need this breath of fresh air. It's been a hard season. It's been dark. It's been difficult. Even with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you just a moment to be honest and transparent about it. I believe the truth sets us free. If you're here, and you find yourself like Joseph prior to finding out the life-changing news. But if you find yourself in this place like Joseph where you feel discouraged and you feel like it's hard to catch your breath, like the wind has been knocked out. If you're here today, could you be honest? Could you just slip up your hand? I just want to see you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just want to see you. Amen. Come on, if you're online, this is for you as well. Father, for every hand lifted, for every soul that feels tired, every spirit that feels discouraged, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would breathe into them new life, new hope. I pray that they would experience your beautiful comfort through your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person who's been battling with depression, who's been battling with anxiety, who's been battling with discouragement, who is grieving loss right now, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would send your comfort, that you would give them the reassurance, that you would give them the strength, that you would renew their stamina to persevere and to endure, and that they would know that the joy of the Lord is their strength. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you would fill them afresh right now. I pray that as we contemplate the resurrection of Christ and the advent of Christ in this season, that we would celebrate his arrival and celebrate his coming, that new life is on the way, that new revival is on the way, that new life is on the way, that new hope is on the way, that new assurance is on the way, that you're breathing something new right now in Jesus' name. So I pray right now, Father, for my brothers and sisters in this moment, that they would know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is always coming in the morning. So Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak your joy over your people right now, that joy is coming, that joy has come, and joy has a name, and his name is Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who saves, the one who redeems, the one who restores, the one who reconciles, the one who forgives.
And if you're here in this moment and you've never accepted Jesus, you've never asked him into your heart, the greatest thing that Joseph could do was to receive Jesus as his adopted son. And Jesus is inviting us today to receive him so that we might be adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, you've never said yes to him, this is the moment. He came so that way you could receive him. He came so you could receive his forgiveness. He came so you could receive his lordship. He came so you could receive his salvation. If you're here today, you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you came to earth and that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose with all power on the third day and that in you is life forevermore. Jesus, would you be my Lord? Jesus, would you be my Savior? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen.